India is a vast country, and having the various consumption statistics across various states, this is self-explanatory. The social and economic disparities in Indian population poses a big challenge to design the uniform and single tax system under GST. The design and tax rate of various goods were accordingly different in different states of India. So we discussed this, that how certain businesses shifted their operations to Gujarat from Maharashtra when Maharashtra raised the Maharashtra sales tax on certain class of goods because the businesses were disadvantaged. So in GST, this kind of a disparity has been removed. You have a uniform application of the tax rates. So it doesn't really matter whether you are operating from X or Y state. Hence, it was decided that the GST tax rates should be based on revenue neutral rates of that goods or services. Focus under GST is to arrive at such rates which would not decrease the current revenue generation by central and state government. So what does it mean? We also saw that the excise used to be, based on the state in which the goods were manufactured or produced, and sales tax was mainly based on the consumption. Now, what happens is there was one major resistance against GST because certain states stood to lose out in the GST regime. They felt that the revenue that they had prior to GST will actually reduce once GST is implemented because of the consumption-based taxation system. So that is where the concept of the revenue neutral rates came in. So the rates were designed in such a way that the states were not put to any disadvantage and their revenue would remain more or less at the same level as it was prior to the implementation of GST. So revenue neutral rates, in a structure of different rates established in order to match the current revenue generation with the revenue under GST, that means prior to GST and post GST. So R&R calculations has to include the cascading effect of certain goods having no excise or sales tax application implications. So what happens is we talked about there are certain commodities which were not being taxed in certain states. Now in GST, because they become taxable, or it could be other way around, that in GST, because they are exempted, there is no revenue collection for those. So these aspects were actually considered as far as the R&R is concerned. For example, wheat would get costlier due to R&R fixed for fertilizer being higher than the current tax rate. So let us say the tax rate on fertilizer is being increased. Now, fertilizer is used, let's say, for growing wheat or paddy or the other grains, etc. Increasing of the taxes will have an implication on the cost of the commodity. The commodity being discussed here is the wheat. So due to the R&R fix for the fertilizer being higher than the current tax rate, even though wheat does not have any excise or sales tax application, because see, wheat and grains are still not covered under GST. That means they are exempted. There is no tax on grains. The government of India had appointed a committee headed by Dr. A. Subramaniam. Committee has released a detailed report on the calculation of R&R and the tax structure. So the government also has looked into the revenue that the states were earning prior to the implementation of GST and what they would generate after the GST. So care has been taken to see that no state is at a disadvantage. So GST tax rate on the goods. So Finance Ministry, Government of India, issued a notification number 1/2017. This is the first notification relating to the GST, wherein the different rate of tax was notified under the central GST. So now, and mind you, this is only central GST. So in a state, what we saw was it will be the CGST plus SGST, and in case of union territory, it will be UTGST. Okay, so central GST will be applicable as 2.5% in respect of goods specified in Schedule 1, and we will see what these schedules are. 6% in respect of goods specified in Schedule 2, 9% in respect of goods specified in Schedule 3, and 14% in respect of goods specified in Schedule 4. So as you can see, it effectively means, because this is only the CGST, there will be a equal amount of SGST or UTGST. So the 2.5 will become 5%, the 6% becomes 12%, 9% becomes 18%, and 14% becomes 28%. 1.5% in respect of goods specified in Schedule 5. This is the Schedule 5 is precious metal, where we saw that 3% duty is applicable, 3% GST, and 0.125% in respect of goods specified in Schedule 6. We'll come to what this Schedule 6 is about. So accordingly, all the state governments also issued notifications and prescribed same tax rate under state GST. So what the center announced, same rates were replicated by the states. So Schedule 1, goods covered attract 5% GST, where 2.5% is the central GST and 2.5 is the state GST. This is what we discussed. And what does this cover? These are household necessities. And this is what we said, that exemption is for necessities and the roti kapda makan kind of a thing. And this covers, you know, edible oil, spices, sugar, tea, coffee, except instant packing and noodles. Instant packing means instant foods or instantly usable items, etc. So anything which is processed, okay, are coming under this category. yeah, coal, Indian sweets, life-saving drugs and medication. Obviously, life-saving drugs have been exempted because, but they have been put in the minimum tax category. So that and the medications are falling in this category. Schedule 2, goods covered attract 12%. Again, it will be 6 central, 6 state. So these are computer, its parts, and processed and instant food. So all processed foods, etc., will now fall under this category. We saw in the earlier chapter that instant noodle, instant food, those kind of things were exempted from that. They fall under Schedule 2. Schedule 3, goods covered attract 18% GST, 9% will be central, 9% will be state tax. Covered are commodities like toothpaste, hair oil, soaps, cleaners, industrial intermediates, and capital goods. By and large, all industrial products, chemicals, raw materials fall under this Schedule 3. Because one of the reason is your raw materials attract 18%, then your finished goods also have to be aligned with that. Otherwise, you will have accumulation of duty. Let us assume that you are buying raw materials with 18% duty on it. So whenever you buy the goods, you get an input tax credit of 18%. But your output, your finished product, let's say it attracts 5%. Then you will not be able to use your duty, and your duty, your input tax credit will start to accumulate. So even the classification is based on how the raw materials are classified, and that also decides how the finished products, products are classified in this particular case. Schedule 4, goods covered attract 28% GST, so 14% central, 14% state, These are luxury items like cars, high-end bikes, consumer appliances like AC, refrigerators, and other electrical goods. So it can be, you know, fancy electronic items, entertainment, sound systems, etc., everything, including cigarettes, aerated drinks. Normally things which are not necessary, which are more of a luxury. So all they come under this category. Schedule 5, goods covered attract 3% GST, 1.5% state, 1.5% center. So includes the commodities like silver, gold, precious and semi-precious stones, and includes silver and gold jewelry and ornaments. So we talked about this. These are taxed at 3%. These are all, you know, polished and items which are for the end consumer. And Schedule 6 covers goods, you know, which attract 0.25% GST. 0.125% goes to center, 0.125 goes to state. This slab includes precious stones other than diamonds and semi-precious stones, unworked or simply sawn or roughly shaped. That means these are not finished, these are not polished. These are like, you know, precious stones, but yet to be processed, yet to be finished. Okay, so that's as far as the tax rate is concerned. So Finance Ministry, Government of India issued a notification number. Now we have come to the services now. So far we were discussing about the goods. So the Government of India issued a notification 11/2017. So different rate of taxes were notified for all these services under central GST. The scheme of classification of services adopted for the purpose of GST is modified version of the United Nations Central Product Classification. The exemplary notes for the said scheme of classification of services is based on the exemplary notes to the UNCPC and as recommended by the committee constituted for the purpose. The exemplary notes indicate the scope and coverage of the heading, groups and service codes of the scheme of classification of the services. Very important thing, how India has aligned the classification of services with a global classification. And here we have not come across the classification of goods, but even classification of goods since the very beginning, even when we had excise and sales tax, we were following the classification of HSN, Harmonized System Nomenclature. Now, this is a system which is globally accepted, and it consists of a 8-digit code. The first two digits of the code is called as the chapter heading. So if you're talking of, let's say, plastics, if I'm not mistaken, plastics is chapter 32. So it will cover all kind of plastics under the chapter. The next two the digits will actually tell you what kind of a plastic it is. So it could be like polyethylene, or it could be low density polyethylene, high density polyethylene, medium density, and other kind of engineering plastics. So each one will have a different subheading, and then depending upon further classification. So in India, globally, many of the countries like USA, they use a 8-digit HSN classification. But in India, we are generally using the 6-digit classification. And for the small scale industries and MSMEs, generally they use only the first 4 digits. So this also is aligned with the global system. So for example, if you're importing the goods, you will find that your documents, which your supplier will give you, will contain the HSN code, and the same HSN code can be applied or can be quoted while importing the goods or while classifying it for payment of duty, etc. Likewise, as far as the services are concerned, we have a classification called as SAC, which is Service Activity Code. And this Service Activity Code is aligned with this United Nations Central Product Classification. So that means a particular kind of a service is classified, let's say in USA, by a four-digit number. Then in India also, it will be identified with the same four-digit code. And we will see these codes as we go ahead. So this is a major step in terms of harmonization. So even when you are, availing of service from another country, if they are mentioning the SAC code, then it becomes very easy for the customs also to apply the correct rate of duty or even for the goods, the HSN codes. So there are no disputes as far as classification is concerned. So scheme of classification of services may be used by the SSC and the tax administration as a guiding tool for classification of service. So we saw this, that we as a, we are availing the services. So we are the SSC and the tax administration, which could be the customs or the local tax authorities. So both can use this classification as a guiding tool. However, it may be noted that where a service is capable of differential treatment for any purpose based on its description, the most specific description shall be preferred. So sometimes it so happens that, like we talked about, the HSN code and the classification for plastics. So even in the plastics, if the form of the plastic is different, it can be in the form of a fiber, it can be in the form of granules, it can be in the form of, let's say, a rod or a specific shape, it can be classified differently. Likewise, even for services, if it can be more appropriately classified under a certain classification, it will be classified as per that. So GST Council published a notification, number 11/2017, wherein all the services were accordingly notified under various tax slabs. And again here, the tax slabs which were maintained were 5%, 12%, 18% and 28%. But for specific services, especially under the real estate and construction sector, various other tax rates are also prescribed. So like we have seen in terms of goods, there are certain central excise or cess which are applied. Here also, there are specific rates which are supplied for certain sectors. Some of the important service categories notified, and here, they have given various headings. Now, basically, these headings are what we call as the SAC codes, okay? So, first one we are looking at is 9954. So, it includes the construction services of building and general civil engineering work, site preparation services, assembly and erection of prefabricated construction. Basically, if you look at this, mainly relates to civil work, construction work, construction of building or sites or, installation services, etc. The second heading is 9963, includes accommodation, food and beverage services, other accommodation services, food, edible preparations, alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverage serving services. Mind you, serving services. It does not include the charges for serving the alcohol, because we have seen alcohol is still not under GST. It's under state excise and VAT, of course. So these are the services. And as you can see, this is nothing but the hospitality industry. That means the hotels, the residential hotels or even restaurant, they come under this particular heading of 9963. Heading 9964, passenger transport services, local transport and sightseeing, long distance transport service. So this basically deals with transportation of passengers, and this is mainly by road. So it can be, like you are traveling long distance from, one city to the other city, or within a city you are doing sightseeing, or you know, it could be a simple transportation services, you know, for a company where the employees are collected every day, brought to the office or the site, and then dropped again. So all these kind of services fall under this chapter or heading 9964. 9965, goods transports by land, water, air, and space transport services. So we still don't have goods being transported by to space, except I don't know if there are countries which are asking for their satellites to be put in the orbit through the use of Indian satellite services. So basically this deals with transportation of goods by all means. Heading 9966, rental services of transport vehicles with or without operator. So this is basically transportation vehicle, which means hired cars, or it could be even hired buses, etc., with or without operator, because nowadays you have a lot of companies like Rev or Hilt, etc., where you can hire a car, you know, without a driver, self-driven cars, etc. So those services will fall under this heading of 9966. Coming to 9967, supporting services in transport, cargo handling, storage, warehousing for transportation by railway, road, water. So these are mainly the supporting services. So it includes, you know, loading, unloading, warehousing. So all your e-commerce, or even, you know, companies, the distribution warehouses, for exports, you have the forwarding services, or you have the CHA, you know, clearing house agents, who actually give you the clearing services, etc., for import clearance of goods, etc. They would fall under this particular category. Coming to heading 9969, this includes the electricity, gas, water, and other distribution services. So basically this is all the utilities. So if you are buying the utilities, they are coming under service, because here it's difficult to define them as goods. 9971, financial and related insurance, pension, reinsurance services. So all these kind of financial services and insurance, pension related services fall under this chapter. And 9972, it pertains to real estate involving owned or leased property, or a fee or a commission basis on contract basis. So here it is mainly real estate brokerage, commissions, etc. Okay. Coming to 9973, it covers the services like leasing or rental concerning machinery and equipment with or without operator. Other goods, licensing services for the right to use intellectual property and similar products. Again, intellectual property is something which is not very tangible, so it forms a part of service. So here you can see that the leasing is falling under this service. So leasing is where you are leasing equipment or a vehicle, or for extended use by somebody else. 9981, R&D, research and experimental development in natural sciences and engineering, research and experimental development in social sciences and humanities, interdisciplinary research. So it basically covers all kinds of research and development which is carried out by industry or individuals, which will fall under this particular category. Heading 9982, legal and accounting, auditing and bookkeeping, tax consultancy, preparation, other professional, technical and business services. So all kind of professional services. So, you know, things like chartered accountants and tax consultant, or even professionals who are giving management services, you know, to industry, etc., they fall here. We have seen that the financial services is classified differently. So this is mainly all these kind of professional services other than the financial services. Coming to 9983, management consulting and services, information technology, architectural, urban and land planning, landscape, architectural engineering. This is more related to the management consulting and the technology part of it, engineering, consulting, etc. So now we come to the exemption goods. So the Finance Ministry issued a notification number 2/2017 about goods notified for exemption from the levy of GST. So these goods are majorly belonging to primary sectors like agriculture, dairy, fisheries, industry, essential commodities and religious goods. The agricultural commodities like fruits and vegetables, seeds, food grain, oil seeds, fruits and vegetables, legumes, cereals, etc. So everything which is not branded, which is in raw, unprocessed form. So these are in the, you can say the exempted category. The dairy and livestock products like unbranded milk, curd, lassi, buttermilk, etc. Fish, seeds, live fish, prawns, live animals like poultry, sheep, goat, and their meat are covered. So even here, very clear distinction that all these are unbranded and they are sold as unprocessed or semi-processed, but they are not branded. So for example, there are companies which are selling, let's say, packaged milk or curd or lassi or butter. So they will be not exempted. They will have to pay the GST. But if you are selling it without branding, then these are exempted. And you can see, so even when it comes to, you know, fish or meat or prawns, if you are packaging and you know that there are a lot of companies which are selling the meats, etc., in a packaged form, right? So those will be subject to GST. But if it is in the form which is listed here, then they are exempted. So basically what they have done is the sectors which are run by entrepreneurs, by the lower strata of the society, they have been excluded. Also, one of the reasons why they are excluded is because it's very difficult to monitor and manage or administer the GST at that kind of a micro level. The commodities like salt, water, contraceptive, plastics and glass bangles, manures, human blood, wood charcoal, children's drawing books, raw silk, khadi, etc., flags have been exempted from GST. So looking at the sensitive nature of these goods, they have also been exempted from GST. The religious commodities like prasad, rudraksh, panchagaya, unbranded honey, etc., exempted. So honey is like what we have seen with milk or lassi and all that. So if it is unbranded, then there is no GST paid or payable. But if it is branded, then they become payable. And so now which are the services which are exempted? So notification number 12/2017 for services exempted from levy of GST. So services by the central government, state government, union territory or local authorities excluding the following services. So all services by central government and state government and all are excluded except the services which are listed here. That means these services will still attract GST. So services by the Department of Post, Speed Post, Express Parcel Post, Life Insurance, and agency services provided to a person other than the central government, state government and union territory. So even if these services are given to the central government or the state government, they will still be exempted. But if they are to any other body or agency, then they will attract GST. Services by the, services in relation to an aircraft or a vessel inside or outside the precinct of a port or an airport. C, transportation of goods or passengers or any services other than services covered under entries A to C also provides for provided to business entity. So all these are taxable under GST unless they are the services are being provided to the governments or the local bodies. Pure services excluding works contract services or other composite supplies involving supply of any goods provided to the central, state, union territory government or local authority or a government authority by way of any activity in relation to any function entrusted to a panchayat under Article 243G of the Constitution or in relation to any function entrusted. So basically, if services are provided to all these bodies, they are exempted. Whole point is the government doesn't want to tax itself, you know, and it makes sense because the government, if you look at it, it's a very unproductive exercise because it's a revenue being generated by the government and the government cannot actually tax itself. Services provided by the central, state, union territory governments or local authority to another central, state, union territory government or local authority except postal insurance and transport. So again, government to government, one state to another state also is exempted unless it is pertaining to postal insurance and transport. Services provided by way of pure labor contract of construction, erection, commissioning, installation, completion, fitting out, repair, maintenance, renovation, or alteration of a civil structure or any other original works pertaining to the beneficiary-led individual house construction or enhancement under the Housing for All Urban, that is mission, the Awas Yojana, you know, that is Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana. So naturally, again here, to reduce the tax burden on the housing which is being provided for the poor, etc., these are exempted from the GST. These services are exempted. Services by a person by way of conduct of any religious ceremony, renting of precincts of a religious place meant for general public, owned or managed by charitable or religious trust under various sections of IT Act. So these are as a special case, like we have seen that even certain articles which are used in religious ceremony or for religious purpose are exempted, so are the services. Transportation by rail or vessel for relief material meant for victims of natural disaster, defense or military equipment. So this is, you know, self-explanatory. Newspaper or magazine registered with the registrar. Railway equipment or material, because all these are government bodies, except of course what we saw for the newspaper and magazines. Agricultural produce, because again there they don't want to unnecessarily load cost onto these commodities which are basic necessity. Things like milk, salt, food grain, including flours, pulses, rice and organic manure. So these are in the general interest, in interest of the society, these have been exempted from the GST. Transmission and distribution of electricity by an electricity or a transmission and distribution or distribution utility. So these are also exempted. Again, in the general good as a societal reform, so that you know you are not loading cost already when you sell the utility, they are taxable. So when you buy electricity, you know, you are paying the taxes. So this is to, you know, not unnecessarily add to the administrative work also, because it's a matter of paying the duty at one place and taking the input tax credit at the other. So just to simplify, some of these exemptions have been given. Services of life insurance business provided under following schemes. Various schemes are given. I will not go into the schemes. But it's understood that, certain schemes have been outlined, where these concessions are available or exemptions are available. So services provided by the IIM as per the guidelines of the central government to their students by way of following educational programs, except executive development program. So again, here they have given a list of programs which are exempted. Obviously they have not given exemption to the executive program, because this is mostly industry driven. So the concession is only for the full 2-year programs, and of course the 5-year integrated program. You can go through the details. So further, services by way of healthcare services by a clinical establishment, an authorized medical practitioner or a paramedic. So services provided by way of transportation of a patient in an ambulance other than those specified in point A above. So there are many other services that are exempted under the GST other than mentioned above. Specific exceptions are again provided under various categories of levy of taxes, but mostly the agriculture and allied medical and educational services related to the weaker section of the society are exempted under GST. So as you can see here, even the medical services, etc. So if you go to a doctor, then what the doctor charges on that, GST is not applicable. Of course, the doctor will be subject to income tax. He has to declare his income, but on the services that he renders, the GST may not be applicable, depending upon what kind of a service it is, including ancillary services like ambulance, etc. Thank you.